There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Thank you for listening. And of course, if you do want to subscribe, there's over 150 extra episodes. The one I recorded yesterday was on why compatibility is so important in marriage. And there was a shout out to my husband for our anniversary. So anyway, today we're going to be talking about the fact that I've realized over the course of my career talking to people, and most recently this came up in the secret group, which you should join, $4.99 a month on Facebook, best money you'll ever spend, according to many, many members. High libido women actually have more of a drop off hormonally with age. So there's a lot of people, let me back up. There's a lot of aspects to female sexuality, right? And more women than men are ashamed of their sexuality and taught to be sex negative. Don't be a slut. Don't have sex, especially in religious cultures or sex negative cultures. If you experience any sexual abuse or trauma, if you're raised by a mother who had sexual trauma, then she's going to be real sex negative usually. There's like a lot of reasons. And also women are taught that their bodies are super important. So there's many women that think that they're not even basically, they don't even deserve to be considered sexy or feel sexy unless their body is perfect. And if you're lower libido overall, like if you're just kind of a lower libido person, people are all different, then, you know, you don't try to masturbate. You don't like really research anything about sex. And sex is just something that you do if you have a partner, you know, if and when you have a partner, then you're going to have sex and you're going to hope for the best. You don't really know much about it. You think it's mostly for his pleasure. And that's that. And I've talked about these different attitudes so many times, right, in my podcasts and posts. But here's the thing. Every younger mammal, I mean, it's so, I don't think my podcast listeners think this anymore. Otherwise, I mean, you'd be a fool, right, to keep listening to somebody who said something you vehemently disagreed with. But it's really hard for me as a PhD, somebody who took many science classes, right, to think that there are people who don't understand that drive would drop with age, right, based on biology and evolution and, like, I don't know, opening your eyes and looking around the world and talking to human beings, and that any time that that is not the case, there's going to be some sort of superordinate variable, such as for men when they take testosterone, then they're going to artificially prolong a younger man's sex drive, or when they're fluffing themselves up with porn constantly in this, you know, in this almost a drug-addled stupor where you get done with an hour of jacking off, you go outside and you think that women are wearing sports bras when they jog because they want you to look at their boobs, you know? And it's just that, and that's a minor example. So the point being that there are superordinate variables that can sometimes make drive look different, but a main effect of age is your drives, even your appetites. You don't eat as much when you're 60 as when you're 25. Come on. Somebody on my Facebook, this was hilarious, this, I assume, young guy on my Facebook said that I'm completely wrong and a healthy 55-year-old woman should have the same drive as an 18-year-old man. And I was like, did you ever meet an 18-year-old man? And so I said, you know, all the 55-year-old women should know that today they should drive 155, punch a wall, and have sex 5 times because they have the same amount of testosterone as an 18-year-old guy who does those things, right? But anyway, so there's a main effect of age, of course. But there's a big but, when women have never really reached their sexual potential when they were young because of sex negative attitudes or body issues, you know, and they just never really allowed themselves to enjoy sex, then they can want to have more sex later in their lives when they feel more confident, better about their body, and they understand more about sex. This does not mean that if they were transposed back with that attitude into their 18-year-old body, they wouldn't be able to have more orgasms. They wouldn't be able to have sex more. They wouldn't think about sex more. Of course they would. That's a younger animal. A puppy plays, an older dog doesn't. Come on. But anyway, so that's why there's this idea about like, and of course, if women take testosterone as part of their hormone regimen, then you throw it all out the window. A woman on testosterone could want to have sex truly like at the level of a man. Not a man on testosterone, but like maybe an average man of some sort. It's really quite a big difference. Obviously, people take hormones to literally transition, right? So like a tiny level of that gives you a little taste of what it's like. And I've shared that. I tried it as well, the testosterone. Man, it's quite the difference. It's very obvious. Which brings me to my point. If you are aware of your body, you know, and you're aware of your cycle, you're aware of your drive, and this is a low percentage of women, but if you are a high libido woman that is in tune with her body, then you understand your drive. You are somebody who was enjoying yourself fully when you were young. You were having, you know, sex. You were having not just one partner, probably, and you were enjoying yourself. You were seeing the limits of what your body could do. You were trying things. You were experimenting. You were trying, you know, everything that Cosmo said to try, right? I mean, it's And for younger girls that are high libido, there's a lot of internet porn and they look at it too. Not as much as men, but more of them have seen porn than when I was younger. I had never seen porn at all. You know, it just wasn't a thing. But the point is the women in their 20s now, it doesn't really matter because none of you are them or are dating them. But point is they've seen more porn. Sorry if that's your daughter's age and you're a male listener. But the point is here that what you want to understand is that when you're really in tune with your body, then you can tell the effects of age. You could tell the effect of where you are in your cycle. You know, but really it's the higher libido women that are kind of in tune with this stuff because they're the ones who notice when they have a sex drive to begin with. Right. So when I've shared all the time that I've struggled with depression on and off in my life. Right. And one of the things that if you go to a functional medicine doctor, one of the things they try is testosterone for drive. And I was squarely in the honeymoon stage with my husband at that time. So there was no need to do it for drive. And when you take testosterone, man, you got to be dead not to notice the difference. I mean, really, it's nuts. It's like what it's like to be a man. And other people have said this in my group and stuff when, you know, it's just, it's nuts. Like, it's just crazy. But there's a lot of side effects, you know. There's bloat and there's irritability and it's, I got headaches. So, you know, you're changing something in your body. So the more sensitive you are, then the likelier you are to suffer from side effects from everything, which I have suffered from so many side effects. God, you can't even count them, almost everything from every medication. So the point here being that if you are a high libido woman in touch with yourself, then and your drive and where you are, then of course you're going to notice the main effect of age. Of course you are. You're going to notice that your drive has dropped. Instead of having multiple orgasms at every session, you're going to have one. It's going to be hard to get to one sometimes the older you get. Instead of wanting to have sex 5 times a day when you're ovulating, you're going to want to have sex that day that you're ovulating once, you know? And after you ovulate, you're not going to feel like it. You may still have responsive desire. As I talked about this in my podcast, a high libido women have spontaneous desire. Not really, you know, not really in monogamy with age and not when ovulating. Not really. But what they do know is that sex is going to be good. They know how to make sex good, no matter what, pretty much. And so, you know, with foreplay and with instruction and whatever, and of course, a long-term partner knows this stuff, then hopefully, if not work with Heather, our registered sexologist at Best Life. But anyway, the point being, you know sex is going to be good, so then you want it. And that's when responsive desire kicks in, is during foreplay, et cetera, et cetera. But now on the other side of the spectrum, again, are these lower libido women who are trained to be sex negative and never enjoyed their youth sexually. They never viewed their body as a vessel for pleasure. It was to please other people. You had to be a certain weight and look a certain way, and you didn't think about your orgasm because you have sex to be a good girl, a good wife, a good person when you're in a relationship, and it's never really supposed to be about you. It's just that same being a good girl attitude that you learn is nothing is about you. It's what you can provide as an experience to somebody else. And so when women kind of come into their own more, they grow more confident, then some of them will masturbate for like the first time, you know, in their 40s. And that's not going to be as good and quote unquote, as it would have been if they were in their 20-year-old body. But that is never going to happen. So that didn't happen. It's never going to happen. They have no comparison point. And so it's the best it's ever been, truly is the best it's ever been, because they have more confidence and they want to try more things. Now, there's another subset of women where they get divorced in their 40s or even their 50s or even older. And in their entire first marriage, they didn't like sex. And they didn't like it because when they were young, they didn't choose on a sexual variable. Like they didn't, they weren't very attracted to their partner. Or in the window when the guy could have learned any different, they didn't know what to teach him. So then sex was basically ridiculous. Like it was a joke. It wasn't about anything good. It was just kind of penetration. Possibly she has an orgasm with a vibrator if they even go that far. And that's it. No nothing. No foreplay, no buildup, nothing exciting. So then when she gets divorced, every single person is biologically in the honeymoon stage with life. Their drive is higher. As I've told you, they want to procreate. Their brain does, even if their body can't ovulate anymore. Your brain still, you're single, you know, single and ready to mingle. You got more excitement, more ability to become aroused. You know, it's like having more spontaneous arousal. So many women go back and they blame this on their husband. They say, oh, in that relationship, I just wasn't sexual and now is my true self. Kind of. Also, you've changed and grown more confident. And when you were 20, you would never have sat there and said, I'm horny, because you were like, that wasn't how you were. Like you weren't a person who would have said that, who would have noticed that. Of course, you were on some level, could have been when you were ovulating, when you saw a hot guy, when you were in the honeymoon stage, but you just didn't have that self-conception. It was too alien. It was threatening to think like that about yourself as a sexual entity. You were trained not to. So now in later life, you're doing that for the first time. And then you're saying, oh, I was sexual all along. My husband just damped it down. No, what happened was you were in monogamy. You never taught him how to please you. Maybe he was a dick. I don't know, you know. But you never taught him how to please you. You didn't know. You didn't think like that. And now you're coming out and you're thinking differently. If you get involved with another guy, you will probably have better sex at first and then things will wane down. Not maybe where it was before. If you have a self-concept now as a sexual entity, maybe you'll know you have to put the work in. But so many women also, they just think it's like linked to the man in some kind of crazy way. And guys think this too. Young guys especially, they were all over my social media. One of them, this was cute, he's like, if a woman is attracted to you, she shouldn't need foreplay. So, you know, written from a college campus somewhere, I imagine. I don't know how I came up in his feed. But yes, if a woman's attracted to you, she needs foreplay. Jesus Christ. I mean, my God, well, how could you be more wrong? But, you know, so a lot of women, they think that their sexual experience is tied to how attracted they are to the man. I've tried to dispel this over and over and over. This is like nothing. It's like necessary but not sufficient. Yeah, you gotta be attracted to him or to have been attracted to him at some point, but that is nowhere near the most important variable or even an important variable in many marital sexual encounters. It's whether he can provide the type of sex that you want, which he's not a magician. That means that you have to be an active participant in helping him understand the kind of sex that you want. No man is going to know how to be good in bed with every single woman. And I've tried to say this so many times because every woman is different, has a different erotic blueprint, different ways to arouse her, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's certain things, you know, don't do certain things that make you, quote, bad in bed. Bad hygiene, rushing through things. You know, I've tried to talk about a lot of this stuff. I got my oral sex podcast, my female arousal podcast, et cetera, et cetera. But point being, it's never just tied to the man. It's tied to how you feel, you know? And if you perceive yourself as a sexual entity, you can have good sex with anybody. really, you know, I mean, of some sort, even if they're impotent, you know, you could have good sex, you could teach them how to go down on you, you know, or whatever. If you're good at sex, if you have a high libido, you can be sexual with anybody. And you're also going to notice the main effect of age over time, you know, because you're so in tune with your body. If you've never been in tune with your body, then your 40s could be your moment. You know, it's still, you know, it's not going to be the same as it would have been, but that would have been doesn't exist. So it could be the best, you know, ever, truly. And this is why people should, you know, learn more about their body. This is why people should work with Heather the sexologist and read books and like all sorts of things, all my podcasts, all my posts, figure out your erotic blueprint, figure out what turns you on, figure out how the man should touch you, et cetera, et cetera. And don't only rely on the vibrator and all of the things that I say all the time. But the point being is that if people are waiting for their high libido wife to have some sort of renaissance in her 40s or something, that could only happen in the regard of being even more confident. Maybe she wants to try some shit now. Who knows? Maybe you're going to get into the lifestyle. Maybe she's going to come out with some other fetishes because she, you know, doesn't want to go gentle into that good night of aging. Who knows? But time has one effect. Age has one effect. It has one effect. Oh, and the other variable, which sadly is many women have been on birth control forever. So they don't really know what their sex drive is. And then they go off it only after they've had all their own kids and their husband gets snipped. And then they do feel ovulation. They feel ovulation arousal time, you know, and they never did. It's a big epiphany for a lot of women who frequently mourn that they had not known that. They mourn those lost years because they had been sex positive. They were just on a med that was dampening it. You know, so that's another big variable to think about. And in that case, again, there is a main effect of age still, you know, but, you know, I mean, after menopause, everybody's vaginal walls thin. Everybody has painful sex unless they use estrogen cream. And if you use estrogen cream, you still don't ovulate. You're still an older body, whatever. The point is, though, if you were more if you were like truly optimized as a sexual entity, of course you would have your best sex when you were young. No shit. I mean, that's when your body's most fertile and that's when evolution wants you to mate. But there can be many psychological superordinate variables that dampen, and biological, like birth control, that dampen that in the early stage. And then, you know, later on, as you find yourself more, as you're with somebody else, as you are in the honeymoon stage with somebody else post-divorce, and then you get started on a new cycle of trying to value sex in your relationship versus what you did in your first relationship. I've seen that with a lot of people, you know, second marriage. They're like, this one's going to be good. I'm going to be mindful and intentional about having sex, you know, and many people do that. But the point is that there is, of course, no free lunch. Time marches one direction. And you got to kind of, if you're trying to really understand yourself as a person, as a woman, or you're trying to understand your wife, you got to kind of understand all these different variables. Male sexuality usually is not as complex because men have not really been shamed, and they certainly don't get on medication that dampens their sex drive in early life. Later life, yeah, you know, there's, you know, heart medications, etc. But, you know, it's really sucks, you know, for a lot of 16-year-old girls that their ovulation goes away because and they start so young, so they don't even know what their sex drive is, you know, and then they go on the pill and they just never know, you know, until they go off. And, you know, it's not everybody you got to say that, right? But everybody doesn't ovulate that's on the pill, right? So it's kind of everybody isn't going to do that, but people are more or less sensitive to that. And young people like sex, you know, if they are trained in a healthy way to be self-accepting. So many women don't notice. They think they have a high libido, right? Then they go off and they're like, oh, you know, I didn't have as high libido as I could. So anyway, I hope this was an interesting discussion. You know, no real TLDRs because there was a lot of information, but I guess the TLDR is, as I always say, there is a main effect of age, but there are many psychological impacts as well particularly in women who had an artificially lowered libido in early life, then when those obstacles are removed, then even in an older body, they can enjoy sex more, not as much physiologically possibly as they would have early, but that is not a world that they're in. So then this renaissance or this confidence later, you know, does give them the best sex that they ever had. And that is possible. And it isn't something to harass your wife about, by the way. It isn't something to say to your wife, oh my God, now I have a new obsession. It's given you the best sex that you ever had. Come on, let's do it 5 times a night. No. That they're not going to want that, obviously. But if somebody is willing, this is something that would be talked about in couples counseling, obviously, is what both people want out of the sexual relationship, their sexual self-concepts over time, the role that they feel that sexual intimacy should even play in the relationship, what turns on both of them, you know, those kinds of things. And as always, reach out if you need, you know, therapy, coaching, etc. from me or my providers at Best Life Behavioral Health. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to y'all soon, guys.